fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Welcome back to Fire on the Earth. And if you had a chance to tune into the program this week, and I've been talking about the glory of Jesus, the glory of God, and the great hope of the human race is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope is the confident expectation that the glimpse of glory that we see in the person of Jesus Christ that St. Peter saw in the Transfiguration. I began the week with the story of the Transfiguration where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the top of the mountain, and God the Father reveals the glory of Jesus to those three apostles. Jesus is there with Moses and Elijah appear, and Jesus is radiant with light, and the apostles are overwhelmed, and they hear the voice of God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." It's a word to the whole human race. God the Father, our Creator, saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Do you want answers? You want the answers, the true answers to what this is all about? What life is all about, what you're all about, why you're here, where you've come from, where you're going, what your identity is, it's there. Listen to Jesus. He alone can reveal to us ultimately who we are, why we're here, and the purpose of our life. That's the Father communicating to us. So all week I've been trying to just reflect with you on the nature of Christ's glory and what he's done for us, and I've read a variety of passages, and St. Peter, St. Paul talk about it quite often. Here's one from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Through him, that is through Jesus, you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory." He raised Jesus from the dead in the resurrection, and Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, where God the Father gave him glory. That is, he gave him his entire kingdom. Now all power and authority belong to Jesus Christ. The destiny of all of creation, of your life and mine, is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to know, what do you want? Do you want to share in his glory? Do you want to acknowledge the glory of the Father? Do you want to acknowledge that you're a creature made by God, saved by Jesus Christ, and by his grace are destined to share in his glory or not? That's the offer that he's giving to us. A free gift, if we believe, if we surrender our hearts, if we enter the waters of baptism and become a new creation and live in his church, and as Jesus walked and lived. Listening to Jesus means doing whatever he tells you, obeying his commandments, loving what he loves with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Peter, in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, says this, verse 14, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." How does God's glory get manifested today in your life and mine? One of the ways Peter tells us right here, when you're reproached, when you're opposed, when you experience persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. That's something none of us want to have happen. And you can tell how difficult the call to mission evangelization is for most of us. We don't do it very much. Why? Because we're afraid. We're afraid of not having the right answer. We're afraid of looking stupid. We're afraid of being opposed in some way. And as a result, what Peter's saying is we're missing out on something. Being reproached is not something to run from or to hide from. Peter said, when it happens to you for the name, for the sake of Jesus Christ, God's glory is upon you. In the first chapter of Peter's second letter, he makes reference, and I'd like to end this week going back to, as Peter points back to, the moment that he saw Jesus Christ, the mystery of Christ revealed in glory on Mount Tabor, Peter's recollection of it. And he's describing what he's taught, what he's seen, and echoes what the other apostles taught frequently. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For we do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Peter's talking about the preaching of the gospel, and the ministry of the preaching of the gospel, which Paul had said at one point that it's through the gospel that, here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, he says this, to this he called you, that is you, he says, through the gospel, you've been called by God the Father through the gospel. Why? He says, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can you obtain God's glory? Through the gospel. That's why the gospel is good news, because it's the road to glory. It's the way to receive what Christ has come to give us. And so Peter's saying, when I preached the gospel to you, it wasn't some cleverly devised myth like some of the pagan religions were doing in his time, and the Gnostics and others. He said, I made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a beautiful summary of the gospel. What is it that we communicate? We communicate the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the power? Jesus Christ destroyed death and he restored life. All power and authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Another way of saying it is Jesus Christ is Lord. All power is his. So the power and coming of our Lord. So the coming is what? The apostles proclaimed it. We say it every Sunday when we recite the creed together. He will come again in glory. His glory is going to be revealed to the whole world. And just as Peter and John and James fell on their face when the glory of the Father and the glory of Jesus Christ was revealed and they were filled with holy fear, which is a really good thing. It's not slavish fear. It's a purifying, a reorienting ourselves properly to God. It's a profound, awe doesn't even kind of capture the whole of it. But it's a revelation of God to our spirit that fills us with a sense of God's mighty power, holiness, and his greatness. And it clears our mind. It reorients us properly to God. And it causes us to give to God what belongs to God and say, that's one person I'd never want to cross, is God and his greatness. And you begin to see sin in the light of God's majesty, and all kinds of stuff is revealed. And so Peter preached, and what Jesus had told them not to tell anybody about, he told others about. Eventually, he said after Jesus would rise, Peter could preach and tell everybody about the transfiguration and the meaning of his resurrection. So listen to Peter. Again, I'll just read the full verse. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths. We didn't make things up, is the point he's saying. When we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. Through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, you too can behold his majesty. That's really the destiny, what the Holy Spirit's fundamental mission is. It's the Holy Spirit's first mission is to reveal to every human heart the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. And it comes through, as Peter said, the preaching of the gospel. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, we heard this voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word made more sure. Peter said, we were there. We were on the holy mountain. We saw his majestic glory, and we heard God the Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, St. Paul talks about the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ that comes through the preaching of the gospel. As Paul said in another place that I read earlier in Thessalonians, he said, you've been called by God through the gospel, through the good news that you hear. And this is why the church exists, to communicate this good news everywhere to every human being. There's no better news you can give to anybody. It's more important than the good news that tells somebody that their cancer screen, the tests they went through show that there's no more cancer left. As good a news as that is, it's nothing compared to the good news of the gospel of sharing in the glory of Jesus Christ. And Paul says it's through the gospel that you obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, the glory of Christ is what we're obtaining. We're being given this glory. Here's how Paul describes it in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. In the beginning of that chapter, he talks about we've been given this ministry by the mercy of God. He's talking about the ministry of preaching the gospel, the good news. He said, we don't lose heart, kind of no matter what hardship we come up against, no matter what kind of resistance we experience, we never lose heart. We know the treasure that we're burying here, and we know the resistance of the enemy in the world and the resistance in the human heart, so it doesn't surprise us. We're not going to lose heart because our hearts are now united with Christ in glory. He goes on in verse 2, we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's a good description of what evangelization is. It's appealing to the voice of God in man. It's appealing to conscience, proclaiming the truth about who Christ is. And it's the Holy Spirit who acts in the one communicating, but also acts in the listener in a way that that person can hear the gospel. I don't have the power to open anybody's heart. God does. Our part is simply, as Paul is saying here, we don't mess with the word of God. We deliver the mail as it's given to us. We don't edit the mail. We don't change it. We don't accommodate it to make people feel good. We communicate exactly what's been given to us. We faithfully transmit what's been given to us. Verse 3 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So this is also an expression of why evangelization is spiritual warfare and why fasting and prayer and relying on the Holy Spirit are so important in actually communicating the truth of the gospel rather than our own ideas. Because only the sword of the Spirit, God's word, can penetrate through the veil. What he's saying here is that the devil's strategy is to blind us from seeing God and seeing God's saving work in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his rising to glory, and it being seated at the right hand of the Father, where the future of the human race is there, the hope for the human race. The devil wants us in despair, in darkness, hopelessness, because he knows he can totally enslave us through the fear of death. But if death is conquered, if Christ the light has dispelled the darkness, if he's really at the right hand of God as the firstborn of a new creation, the horizon of the future opens up to us and it's glorious and it's full of light. Why is the devil veiling us? What's he after? So Paul says this, to keep us from seeing the light of the gospel, that is the light of the good news, of the glory of Christ. The good news is the glory of Christ. Christ glorified. He goes on, who is the likeness of God? For what we preach is not ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, that's Genesis, right? Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that's shining on the face of Jesus. God's glory is now on a human face. Humanity has fallen from glory, but in Christ it's been raised to glory. Friends, the story is Jesus, the glory of God in Jesus Christ. That's what the church exists to communicate. Preach Christ, live Christ, share Christ. That's our calling. That's our destiny. That's our joy. And that's our commission in God. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.